Word or something. Is that what that's for?
All right. It's good to be with you this morning. And pray for Brother Steve. He called me this morning. He said, you plan on hanging around for tonight? And because I said I may just hang around, and I hadn't got to hear him preach in a while. But he called me this morning. He said, you still plan on hanging around for tonight, aren't you? I said, well, I thought about it. Why? He said, plan on doing that and plan on preaching. He said, I'm not doing good this morning. So remember him. He's got a stomach virus or something that's hitting. And so if you want to encourage your pastor, call and ask if there's any food that he would like to eat today. You'll be glad to bring it to him. He said the thought of food, Brother Steve probably going to watch this and kill me, but he said the thought of food just makes him even sicker. So encourage your pastor, ask him if he would like a bowl of soup, beans and cornbread or big old onion to go with it or something like that. Oh, it is good to be with you this morning. Acts chapter number 8, we'll begin and take our thought for this morning. Acts chapter 8, we live in a world like we've never lived before. Would you agree with that? A time like we've never been in before, that I've ever been in, I'll put it that way. Now, there's probably been times throughout history that they probably thought the same thing, you know. We read some things in the Bible, and I'm sure they thought in their minds, God, this world's a mess. And it was. I believe before the flood came, I believe that they probably were thinking the same thing. The world's a mess. Well, God took care of that and destroyed the earth with water. But we live in a time that I believe is unlike any that we have ever seen, those of you that's here this morning. But we know God's still in control. Amen. And so we have been commissioned to do one thing, and that's to go and tell people about Jesus. And no matter how bad this world gets, that commission and that command from God has not changed. We still have orders from God, and that's to tell people about Jesus and to share who He is and what He has done for us. So Acts chapter number 8, we'll read just a few verses and start in verse number 26. God's Word said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. Now this guy had some authority, don't you think? He had some power, I believe. He had some. He could probably give orders to people and get things done. He wasn't just an ordinary man from that area. But it says, who had charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And was in verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip, in verse 30, says, ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to come to you this morning. Thankful for your word that we have to read. And we read here in Acts chapter 8 about those that had reading your word, but not being able to understand it. And I pray, Lord, that you give us an understanding this morning of your word. And when we understand it, then we can take your word into the world and help others to see and to know and understand what you have for them too. And that's eternal life for all that believe. I'm thankful for each one that's here this morning. And I pray a special blessing on this service. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. As I said, this world is a different time than we've ever lived before. And not only just a different time, but teachings have sure changed in the last 15 or 20 years to what they used to be. When I grew up, there were some standards that we lived by as a kid. There was no even options. Are we going to church today, Mom, Dad? Are we going? We didn't even ask those questions. We was in trouble if we did. Because we knew what we was doing. We got up, we got dressed, we got ready, we got our best on, and we went to church. But today, people don't even consider church in their lives anymore. That is if nothing else is going on. Yeah, if I'm not playing ball or I'm not going to the lake or if I'm not whatever. But we as God's people, can we really do what God wants us to do by putting Him second in our lives? You know, when Jesus was here on the earth and He commissioned His apostles, those 11 that He had sent out, Mark chapter, you don't have to turn there, you can if you want, Mark chapter 16, it says in verse 14, after He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now, these men that were followers of Christ, they even questioned. They didn't understand what He was talking about at times. And so they were just sitting around talking and eating because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Now, Christ told them that I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to raise from the dead before I go back to heaven. He says, these are things I'm going to do. And so they had heard it straight from Jesus Himself, what was going to take place and what was going to transpire. But here, Christ is gone, and now all of a sudden they don't know what to do. Christ had commissioned them what He wanted them to do. Now, before He ascended back to heaven, He comes back to them and said, guys, what are you doing? You're supposed to be going and telling people about Me and helping people to understand who I am and what I have done. And so He says in verse 15, He said unto them, go ye, tells them again, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. Now, this probably still didn't make sense to them because they were living in an area there at Jerusalem and in that area, but He tells them, go into all the world. Now, when I, probably a little over 25 years ago, somebody said, Randy, you need to go everywhere and preach the gospel. You need to go everywhere and let people know. Well, that would have probably been, Danville would have been everywhere to me because I lived in Russell Springs, so I didn't go nowhere. I just didn't travel. So somebody says, you go into all the world, you need to tell people everywhere. Well, Bowling Green and Lexington and Louisville, that's pretty much everywhere. Because I didn't travel. And then God began to deal with mine and Debbie's heart, and we began to travel. These verses come alive to me. Because I know what everywhere is now. Not completely, but I know some of the everywhere. I've been to some of those everywhere. And some of you have. Places I didn't know even existed. But that's where God told us to go and let people know about Jesus. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to most of the people that you come in contact with. No. He says, to every creature. I don't know if you've ever traveled with Brother Steve or not. But Brother Steve's... Jack, he's a different character. I don't know what better word. He's a special man of God. Because he doesn't meet a stranger. And if you're with him, you better be on guard and be prepared to share the gospel with those around. Because that's what he lives for. And that should be what we live for, is to tell others about Jesus. He says, the gospel to every creature. In verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized. Now, don't go away and say, Brother Randy said you have to be baptized to get to heaven. That's not what that says. I'm not going to get into that. But that, believe me, that's not. And if you're after church, if you want to ask me what that really means, I'll be glad to share with you, take the rest of the day to share with you. But he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There's two roads of this life. The broad road that leads to destruction and the straight and narrow way that leads to life eternal in heaven. One way or another, you're on one of those roads. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're on that broad road right now. It's a wide road, got plenty of room for a lot of people. But if you've ever trusted Christ with your heart and believed in your heart that Jesus died, rose again, and ascended back to heaven, you're on that straight and narrow road that leads to life everlasting. But he says there, go ye into all the world. And so Christ, finally, he got his church started. And then we get into Acts, and they begin to pray and spend time waiting. They were commissioned to go, and then he told them, it's like you put horses in the gate, starting gates, and some more there. Some of them are excited, and they jumping around. Have you ever seen that? They jump in the gates. Boy, they can't calm them down to open the gates, and it takes them a few minutes to get them all loaded. That's the way some Christians, not all of them are like that. Some of them get in the gates and just stand there. But some get in the gates, and boy, they're ready to go. They're ready to run. You've got to hold them back. That's the way we ought to be. Excited to be able to go and to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. We have the greatest job in the world there is today. And that's to tell people about Jesus. You say, well, there's nothing, God, there's nothing, Brother Randy, there's nothing that I can do for God. Yes, there is. You can tell people about Jesus. You know, they may not be able to play the piano or play the guitar or play the bass. Most people couldn't hold the thing up or reach it anyway. I mean, it's so big. But you may not be able to do these things. You may not be able to sing four-part harmony. But there's one thing you can do. You can share the gospel with others. And this morning, as we go through this, I want us to think about leading others to Christ. That's what we're here for, is to tell others and to lead others, help others, the lost and dying world, to have an understanding. We sometimes make this difficult, make it hard. All we're to do is, we're not required by God to save people. And I think that's where some people get confused. We're not commanded. He did not say, go into all the world and save the lost. And not one time did Jesus say that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All you got to do is tell them about Jesus and let God take care of the rest. You got to have them to understand that Jesus came into this earth for them. He lived a life. He suffered, he bled and died on the cross and gave his life freely. Well, it may not make sense, but that's basically what he did. So that we can have a home in heaven by trusting and believing. That's all we are commanded to do. We share and tell, and then we move on. A lot of times we want to hang around and hang around till they finally get saved, and we neglect others that might need to hear too. All we're commanded to do is go and tell, and then go and tell, and then go and tell. And we'll see that today. Leading others to Christ. Here, back in Acts chapter number 8, says the angel, verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake to Philip. So God, through an angel or through his spirit or whatever, came to Philip. And I'll not get into who this Philip was. But study that sometime. It may not be who you think he is. Came to this Philip and said, Philip, arise, he says there, and go towards the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, would that have been something you'd been interested in? You was comfortable where you was at and enjoying life, and God says, I want you to go south. I want you to get out of where you're at, your comfort zone, and I want you to go a place that's desert, desolate, nothing there. Most of us said, nah, God, I don't think I want to do that. And I know I've heard testimonies of people that said that. I'm just comfortable staying right where I'm at. I'm enjoying coming to the church when I come. It's comfortable, got padded pews, got new carpet, air conditioning. I mean, it's nice. But God sometimes calls us out of our comfort zone to be able to share the gospel. And he told Philip, he said, Philip, go down to the south. And he rose and went. He said, go. There's that commission to go. Tell Philip to go. You can't do what I need you to do by staying here. You got to go. And so Philip went, rose and went, and behold, he found this guy sitting there, Ethiopian. He's a eunuch. And he was, look what he was doing. He was sitting, verse 28, sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the Old Testament writings. And there's a lot of people that, even people you think might know what they're doing, may not know what they're doing. You're reading the Bible, the Old Testament writings, and you think, man, this guy knows what he's doing. He's got a Bible out. Just because somebody packs a Bible around don't mean they know what they're doing. That don't mean they're saved and on their way to heaven. Just because you see someone packing a King James Version Bible, that don't mean a lot. It's what they've had done in their heart is what counts. But he saw this guy reading from Isaiah. And this, God told him through His Spirit, He said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Most of us, we'd have seen that. We'd probably said, man, I don't want to bother him. He's busy reading the Bible. I'm going to leave him alone. And God said to go near and talk to this guy. And when Philip got there, he said, he ran thither to the... See, he ran. He didn't take his time. He got there immediately and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said... When he got there, he heard him reading it. And apparently he knew he had recognized what he was reading because he had read it himself. You know, it's important that we understand and we know what the Bible says. So when somebody asks us a question or we hear him read, you ever do this? You ever hear somebody on the radio driving down the road? And I do this thing quite often. And Debbie, if she's with me, she helps me along the way. She's my right hand as I travel, keep me from running off the road sometimes. But I'll be listening to the radio. It's on we try to find a gospel somewhere as we travel. And there, you can find them. You just have to search for them, but they're out there. One time I don't know who the preacher was, but he was preaching, and he started, he said, turn to something, and he began to read, and he was reading, and I said, Deb, get that Bible out of the back seat. I carry one in the back of my truck all the time. I said, get my Bible out and look this verse up. That don't sound right. You ever do that? Hear somebody preaching? The only way you're going to know whether somebody's preaching the true Word of God is you read it yourself. That's why showing Bible says it's important to study, to show thyself approved unto God. That's why, so when somebody reads something that's contrary to what the Bible says, you know it. How are you going to know if it's the truth or not if you don't know the truth yourself? But he says here, he went and he said, understandest what thou readest. A lot of the world, as I said, we got confusion in this world today about how to get to heaven. A lot of people think you can do it by works. We're going to see this morning, there's an order about how to be saved and about how to get to heaven. And we'll see in the Word this morning. Now, I'm not saying it's you got to do step one, then you do step two, and then you do... That's not what I'm saying. But some of these things have their place. A lot of people say, well, I don't feel saved. Was that what salvation's all about, your feelings? No. There's some days, I'm going to tell you, this week I didn't feel too saved this week. My wife found out she had COVID. I got kicked out of the house. Had to live in the trailer. No food in there. I had to go to the grocery to find some food to eat. Boy, I tell you what, it just wasn't the best week in the world. If I'd have been basing my salvation on my feelings, I didn't feel too saved this week. I don't base my salvation on my feelings. I base my salvation on thus saith the Word of God. And so this morning, as we see here, we read here that Philip went to this eunuch. And he began to talk to this guy. He said, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless somebody helps me along the way? He says there in verse 31, pardon my voice. he says in verse 31, and he said, How can I understand except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He told Philip, he said, no, I don't understand what I'm reading. I know I'm supposed to read. And a lot of the world knows they should read the Bible. It's a good Bible. A lot of people, and I believe a lot of lost people, probably read the Bible. They have a daily Bible reading. They buy a book and it tells them what verses to read every day. And they do that. And they're sincere. But that's all they're getting. They're not saved. Salvation is not based upon what you do. And so we see here that he went and desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, Philip, would you take time to help me understand what this is all about? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. And so we read on. He says in verse 32, he says, the place of the Scripture which he read was this. You know, we base our salvation not on our works. We don't base our salvation on our feelings. We don't base our salvation on anything other than thus saith the Word of God. We should base our salvation on facts. And the facts that we have for salvation is Christ came into this world, died for all mankind. Whosoever believeth, God sent His Son to this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Those are facts according to the Word of God. And so the basic beginning of salvation is you have to have some facts to go any farther. The feelings and all that will come, it'll have its place, but it don't need to come first. I don't feel good, and I don't feel like I'm saved. Well, salvation, first of all, ain't based upon on your feelings. It's based upon facts. First, we see that Christ told us who He was through His Word and what He came to do, and that's came and died for all mankind. For all those that believe, thou shalt be saved. And so we see here, He said, the place of the Scripture, or the facts, if you will, He said, which He read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before His shears, He opened not His mouth. In His humiliation, the judgment was taken away. And who shall declare His generation? For His life is taken from the earth. Christ came into this earth for one purpose, to give His life for all mankind. And my prayer is this morning that you first and foremost know Jesus as your personal Savior. But to have that knowledge, you have to have the facts that we read about. Who Jesus was. He's the true Son of God. Come from heaven in the form of man. Did He have to? Absolutely not. But He did to be obedient to the Father. Without that perfect sacrifice, there could be no forgiveness of sin. But He was willing to lay down His life. He says, no man take my life. I give it freely. And He did that for you and I. And if He's done that for you and I, then we are to be willing to go and tell others and share the gospel with others. Because we should want others to have what we have. And not to have the torment and the punishment of eternal life in hell. But he goes on and it says in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He began to ask some questions. He didn't completely understand as Philip began to share with him what these verses meant. He says, explain, I got some questions here. And I don't know if you've ever shared the gospel with anyone. I pray you have. On a one-on-one basis. And I'm not talking about doing Sunday school or teaching or something. I'm talking about a one-on-one. And that's, I think, if we would be willing just to do it one-on-one, it'd be a whole lot easier on most of us. Because we do one here, and then we go on to another one, and we go on to another one, and we go on to another one. But he says here, Philip then opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture, same place in the Word of God that eunuch was reading, he said, began at the same Scripture and preached it to him, who? Jesus. He read the exact same Scriptures that that guy did not understand what he was reading. He sat there. I can imagine him sitting in his chariot and reading those Scriptures from Isaiah. He's, man, that don't make sense. And he read it again. And he read it again. I'm telling you, a lost person, they can read it 10,000 times over and probably never get nothing out of it. Because it doesn't make sense. But when you get the word, when you get the Lord in your heart, and God begins to work in your heart, He'll let you see things that you didn't even know was there. He does me. And the more I study, and the more I read, and the more I try to learn, God will open it up even more. There's things there we can never learn in 10,000 lifetimes. But He says there, He began to preach unto him Jesus. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, so they didn't just sit there. They began to travel. I don't know what the reason was for not just staying there, but Philip, he didn't seem to mind. He said, they just began to travel. And it says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Well, the baptism is important, very important. But there has to be the proper order. Baptism is not for the lost. Baptism is for the saved, to be a part of the bride of Christ. And it has its place. And so Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. Romans chapter 10 said, with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. You have to believe in your heart. Now I'm going to tell you right now, and I may have shared this before, I've grown up in church my whole life, a Baptist church, and from the time I was born, my whole life. That's just where I grew up. I made a profession at 7 or 8 years old. I don't even remember. But there's a difference in being saved and baptized and going up and shaking the preacher's hand and being dumped. There's a difference. I'm telling you. I've done it. You can go into, I was going to say, in the baptismal waters. It's outside. You can go into the baptismal waters all you want, and that'll not get you to heaven. You just get wetter and wetter. That's all you get. But when you believe in your heart. You know, I believe, the pastor asked me, he said, do you believe Jesus died for your sins? And up here I'm thinking, yeah, I guess that's what everybody says. But it has to come from within here. With the heart man believeth. Then the order is to be baptized after that. But he says, Philip says, if thou believest in all thy heart, thou mayest. Look what the guy said. I believe. I really do believe that Jesus died for my sins. I don't understand it all probably, but I believe what you're telling me to be true. So we see first and foremost, as they begin to read the Scripture, there has to be the facts. You have to understand what are the true facts. Jesus came into this world to die for all mankind. He gave His life. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose. And now He sits at the right hand of God the Father for you and I. Those are facts. Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it, that's the facts. Then comes the faith. Here we see this eunuch. He said, I believe. He didn't say, I understand it and I can explain it, but he said, I believe it. By grace through what? Faith. It takes faith to believe that Christ truly died for your sins. Heartfelt faith. So we see there's facts, and then we see there's faith. It's not over yet, folks. But some people try to get these out of order. It won't work. You'll never get to heaven your way. You have to do it God's way. He says there, you go on down, and as He commanded, verse 38, the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he would baptize him. So took time to baptize the eunuch. Now he's a part of the bride of Christ. Now, Philip, most Christians, if this was written about most Christians today, you know what would happen from here on? Whew, boy, man, that was an ordeal. I'm going to the house. I got to rest. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They feel like they've done what they needed to do. They told one person, and they led them to the Lord. Now I'm done. No. Look what he did. He says in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, after he baptized the eunuch and come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, if you remember, the angel of the Lord went to him before and said, go down. Leave where you're at. There's a guy that needs to hear about Jesus. And now he says, when they come up out of the water, he said, the Spirit of the Lord come to him. and caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. That was the last time the eunuch ever saw Philip. And he went away. He went on his way. What was he doing? Rejoicing. Now, I said there's an order about this. First, there needs to be the facts that Jesus came and died for our sins. The truth. Then, there has to be the faith. We have to believe those facts to be true. And trust in our heart that Christ died for our sins. It's the only way you're ever going to get to heaven is believing. But you know, when we do, and we've been baptized, or not even baptized, but if you've been saved and you've asked Christ into your heart, there are to be some rejoicing. There are to be some feelings. You know, feelings has a place in a Christian life. If you don't have no feelings, you're almost dead, then there's something wrong. There's the facts, there's the faith, and then after that there should be the feelings. We should be glad. The Bible says they were glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You are to be the position, I can't wait till Sunday. Because Steve will be back next week. We are to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. We should want to serve our Heavenly Father because of what He's done for us. And so we see here, they went on his way rejoicing. But look what happened to Philip. When Philip left that eunuch, he says, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, look what he did. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip took time for that one individual. And he shared the gospel. He helped him to understand what he was reading. So that made it clear that he needed to be saved. He needed to know Jesus in his heart. But Philip wasn't done. When he left the eunuch, what did he do? He just kept on preaching. He went to another place and preached the gospel. Then he went to another place and preached the gospel. Then he went on and preached the gospel. He never quit. Didn't matter what he faced and where he went and what he was confronted with, I believe Philip just kept on preaching. And that's what you and I need to do. When we share the gospel, whether an individual believes Jesus or not, sometimes we get discouraged because we share or we invite somebody to church and they never seemed interested. I've got an individual on my heart and has been for several months. And I've told them the truth. And I've invited them to church. Nothing's happened yet, but guess what? I'm not done. Every time I see this individual, I'm going to do my best to help them understand the importance of who Jesus is. We never quit on God. But we should never stop just because one individual doesn't accept Christ. There's hundreds of thousands more out into this world that we need to reach. This building, you're a lot fuller than you was a year ago. But guess what? There's still hundreds of thousands of people that needs to hear the gospel. Don't ever quit sharing the gospel and leading others to Christ. Philip could have said, when it was all said and done, he got done leading that man to the Lord, that eunuch, baptized him. Philip could have very easily said, well, I've done what you asked me to do, Lord, and never done it again. But that's what we live for now. Just because we do a little, that doesn't give us any reason to quit on God. That should be what our life is solely about as a child of God, is telling others about Jesus. And I pray this morning, as we continue on in our service to God, that your goal is to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Your main goal is not for the things of this world, as easy as that would be. And your goal is not to quit on God just because the world's in such a turmoil. That's no reason to quit on God. God still has everything under control. He knows exactly what's going on. Our job as God's people is to lead others to Christ. Help them to understand what thus saith the Word of God. Share the gospel with them so that they can understand who Jesus is and in turn accept Christ in their heart. Then they can go away rejoicing too. And this morning you may be here as we prepare for a song of invitation. You may be here and you say, well, Brother Andy, I've heard this before, but never been had the feelings that I have. Never in a way that makes me uncomfortable. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you can be in God's house under God's Word as a lost individual and be comfortable, there's a problem somewhere. But if you're here this morning and you're not sure if Christ is your Lord and Savior, why don't you come this morning and just give your life and heart over to Him. He says, I'll forgive you. You know, that was one of the greatest things my mom and dad, I'd mess up. And I'd go to them and I'd tell them, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. They wouldn't hold that against me. They said, we understand that you made a mistake, but we still love you. But you know, my Heavenly Father loves me far more than my earthly parents do. When we mess up, He says, just come to me. I can make everything right. And if you're here and a child of God and your life isn't where it needs to be, God's waiting for you to come back to Him and get your life where you can serve Him again. As we stand and as we sing.